good question. Late last night, I spent most of the night working on it. It was that interesting. And of course, it obviously I only had 1 minute left to prepare the Musser Schmooze. So I hope it goes well. But I think I have an interesting point, and it's a well-known point, but I want to keep continuing the thing about how not to lose yourself and be able to be conscious of the way that you're conscious. And this will have one of those things which will, you do it anyhow as a human being, and I'll start now. Here's what we find. In the Pasuk in this week's Parsha, it says, he saw, Balak saw. He saw what the Jews had done to, he didn't see it. You know he didn't see it, he wasn't there. He heard it. Like by Yishma Yisro, Lahavdil, but that's hearing. Things at a distance you hear. Seeing is seeing. He wasn't there. Also, only in Pasuk Hey does it say he was the king. Usually when we get the labeling of a personality in the Torah, they tell us more or less, I don't want to call it a definition, but description. So it should have said, Vayar Balak Ben Sipor Melech Moav. And he was the king already. So why didn't it identify him as that? So why did they wait till later to identify him as the king? Regular Chumash question. The Ramban in Pasuk Dalet asks that question. He gives his own answer. I'm not going according to his answer. Little me, but just saying. The key is Vayar. Now everybody knows there's two classical interpretations. Oh, I see. That's a type of expression of understanding. I see. Sometimes actually physically seeing something helps you to understand something. But then there's, I see. I get it. What is it you get when you get it? Last week, when I spoke about Korach, he got God. I'm always going to play on the language. Here, somehow or another, and we're going to find out how, Balak gets it. He didn't get God. He got it. The English expression that all of us are familiar with is, look before you leap. In other words, everybody knows that doesn't mean look somewhere in particular unless you happen to be on a precipice or at the edge of a roof on a very high building or on the side of a mountain. It means think before you leap. It's automatically translated and interpreted as some sort of process you have to go through. Balak looked. He definitely had the eyes to see. And therefore, the people recognized this in him, and they appointed him king. After they saw who he was and what he had figured out, they then wanted him as their king. The difference between a man and an animal, in case you were wondering, is man can understand from the manifestation, from the masubah, from the effect of something and run it back to what was the cause. Some of them are kind of simple, but there's more complex ones which are harder to decipher. Balak was great at this. He knew how to expertly go and make an observation of something or whether he heard about it and then do the thought process of why did this happen? Or why didn't something happen? An animal can see the effect, the manifestation of something, many times way better than a human being can, but it can't figure out cause. Except for crows and ravens. They're very smart. No, just saying. But they're still considered reactive. It's kind of like almost instinctual. They make connections, but they're not thinking in that conceptual way. If you ask me how I know what's going on in their head, you're right. I don't know. But that is the difference between you. I noticed none of them have put out any physics books. No math books. Hasn't happened. So what we find is a man is reflective. He reflects about things while an animal is reactive. Hashem, we know, gave human beings a tremendous amount of chokhmah. Forget about how much each one has. That's not the point. But he gave us the power to think in that kind of way. And that is even exclusive of the power of nevuah. And in fact, you know, the Gemara says, I'm pretty sure I'm remembering the Masechet. It's in Baba Basra, I think, maybe Daf Vav. It says chokhmah is bigger than nevuah. The people saw the success of the Jews, and they were afraid, the next pasuk says. They were being reactive. They were just reacting to the fact. They did not investigate the cause for the Jews' success of conquering the two kings, like it says in Rashi, so forth and so on. They didn't pursue it. Here's the Balak process. Here's what the people finally came to know. Balak said, who is their leader? If I want to look for a primary cause of a nation's success, I want to know who's leading them. Once I find that out, I want to know what is his particular power. Number three, where did he get it? Source, cause. After that, he goes, it's not coming out in the newspapers or in the almanac. Where was he raised? The answer was Midian. So he went to Midian to discover the source of that power. It turned out it was Moshe's mouth. Balak went the next step. He said, I'm going to find a person with a similar power. And so we have the dating process of Balak and Bilam. Moav saw that Balak was a big chacham because he ran this process down and came up with a result to go forward. And the public. So he had a high skill in discovering why stuff can happen, and also he would apply it to help the people. That's why it waits to tell us Balak was the king of Moab, because only after observing these behaviors of Balak, the people appointed him king. They said, this is the man we want. And in fact, the Medrash says, and I've always loved this, it says that Bilam, was he equal to Moshe in Nevuah? It says, Lo kum bi Yisrael kum Moshe od in prophecy. But in among the nations, yes, and it was Bilam. And Bilam knew the exact nanosecond that God was on the throne of Midas Hadin, and he was going to curse the Jews in that nanosecond. He was big, but he wasn't as smart as Balak was. So it says that Bilam followed behind Balak like a blind man. And the truth is, Balak was so scientific, Bilam knew how to do the sorcery and the cursing and all that other stuff. He had a reputation for it. But Balak knew which were the most auspicious places to do it from. He knew that one place is a place where the forefathers and an earlier generation of the Jews had a hard time. So he knew the makomos to offer those seven karbanos, while Bilam did the magic, or was going to attempt to do it. There's a famous maisala I know from one of my haggadahs. And I used to say it over every Seder night. I can't find it. I still have all my old gutters, and I this past year, because I was, you know, just in the house by myself, because my whole family spread out all over the place, nobody went anywhere, I got to do the Seder really good. Nobody interrupted me, and I just did all the things. It was fantastic. I miss my family, but I'm saying it was very calming. And what I try to look for that Chazal again. It's in one of the Mefarshim, a legitimate one. It's not like some thing. So it says there were five to nine sat together at the Seder in Bnei Brak, right, on Pesach night. And then towards morning, the students came in, right, and they had been sitting there doing Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, I'll tell you what they weren't doing according to this Perush. They weren't at their ultimate tops in giving incredible vortlach at the Seder table. That's not what they were doing. We're talking about Tanaim here. My parish told me they traced every event from their time backwards in an unending change of effect. What was the cause? That becomes the effect and the cause for that. They were able to trace it back to something that happened in Mitzrayim. Incredible. That was their ability. What I find is, this is a way to grab a hold of yourself, change your behavior, like I told you last week. We don't want interesting information. We want constructional instruction. How can I use this to change myself? How can I get more conscious? The more you are reactive, not only as regards what you do, but even worse, when you jump to a mental conclusion, like in that terrible thing of which I know none of you do, somebody irritates you in some situation. You, of course, don't lose it, but you lost it internally. You're irritated. Your focus has been unfocused. And you are mentally and emotionally in a state of reactivity, even if it's only in your mind. You didn't do anything outward. And that's you being reactive. It destroys or at least weakens your ability to go from the effect back to a cause. You are misfocusing terribly. This is the way to get your midos together and your thinking together so you can be clear-headed and not in a reactive state. Reactive state is you bump into a dog, it goes, whoa! That's a dog. You don't want to be a dog, even if you're a human dog. But don't be a dog, seriously. And I'm not being cute. I'm just saying this is the way to get self-possession in every single situation. If the Gemara is not going right, don't be reactive. My brother's great rule of thumb would be go back to the last place you understood and run it again. Take the last place that you everything up to there worked out, start from that point again. Run the program again. In the furthering steps, you should do better. Don't be reactive. Oh, I didn't get it. That's reactive. Just apply methodology. Just do it. Go back and run it. That's what I got. I have one cue thing to say. If there's a thing of black and white, here we have a thing of black and black. Bilam is a devil. Balak was a thinker, at least. That's it. Thank you. That's a talk to you, gentlemen. I feel very enlivened when I get to talk to people who I am pretty much sure, I don't know exactly what's going on in your head, but I have a deep feeling for the fact that you appreciate these kinds of points because they're that practical. We could go real theoretical. In fact, I told you at the beginning, I had some of my preparatory time taken up with the wonderful thing that Rabbi Leventhal asked me about. So I was running it down, though. It was like hours of work.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Yasher Kor.